Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bunbury Bit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Now, historically, a significant inquiry set to open with ceremonial hearing. We've had the opening regarding the gathering, and that was happening yesterday. And we yarned in there with chairperson, Joshua Creamer, and he's got one of the members as well, Diddley's sister, Vonda Malone. A very good morning. How are you all?
Morning, Trevor. How are you?
I'm good. Vonda, how are you?
Debedim, Bala, how are you going?
I'm good, my sister. And before we start, Joshua, who your mob were you from?
Well, just down the road from you, Trevor. yes. Kalkadoon Wanyi. As you know, my family, the Leons in Mount Isa.
Yes.
Grew up there and spent a bit of time up around Gulf Carpentier, which is that Wanyi country.
That's right, my brother. That's right. Got a connection there. Vonda, who your mob? Where you from, sister?
Well, I live on Waibeni, Thursday Island, but my mum's family is from Erup.
Wow.
So Peidu from Erup Island.
Look here, too deadly, my sister. And look, I got goosebumps here. Josh, connection there on dad's side. Aboriginal man, their 1 year gung leader, and my mother with me in spirit, Dunley Ola Nerum. So we've got a connection both ways. That means I can borrow money off both of you, either you. There you go.
Well, only after you have a winner.
Yes, that's right. Look, good to be yarning with you both. Thank you very much for coming to the table. And look, a very important conversation regarding the vehicle that you guys are driving and regarding truth-telling, what have you. And we're talking about this very powerful vehicle, standing up for a mob and, look, bringing the, like I said, the truth to the table and for government to act on it. Tell us where it's at in the vehicle. We'll explain the vehicle that you're both driving there. Let's start with you, Josh, please.
That's right. So myself and Vonda, Cheryl Malone, Ivan Ingram, and former retired Supreme Court Judge Rosalyn Atkinson are members on the Truth Telling and Healing Inquiry, Queensland.
Yep.
It was established on 1 July. As you said, we had our ceremonial opening yesterday in Brisbane, and now we are about to commence evidence. The key focus for us, we've got a terms of reference, so they're really things that we have to do over the next 3 years during our term. Big focus on us is capturing that lived experience of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across Queensland.
Yes.
And then understanding, you know, the role of government and how it's impacted Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. And then lastly, understanding the contemporary issues or current issues and what can be done to improve those circumstances.
And when we talk truth telling, we're talking about it, well, it becomes evidence. It speaks for us. It speaks for our ancestors and to how we've been treated and what has happened. And here we are in the 21st century. And to move forward, we need to have all cards on the table so government can make decisions, so to speak. And so very important, this vehicle, I would say.
Yeah, so I guess with the two ways of those that are wanting to share their stories, they've got opportunity to do it through the formal setting as what we're doing this week,
okay,
with hearings. And then we have sessions that obviously allows for more flexibility where someone can, an individual, I should say, an elder or a knowledge holder within a family or a clan group, that they want to share their stories in a space that's more appropriate for them, and we'd have an inquiry member present as well as our legal team support and social emotional wellbeing support. So
yes,
certainly we have that flexibility. Obviously, the hearings will be more a process that the legal team will provide advice on to that individual or family or group, on how to prepare for being a witness to present at a hearing, and most importantly, be supported all the way, so that trauma-informed approach, so people feel safe, they're able to tell their stories in a culturally safe manner.
Well, I'm picking up that the acknowledgement that the elements of the inquiry may both, cathartic as well as traumatic, form these share their stories. It can be very emotional to the individuals as such. But look, we're hats off to our mob coming forward and telling their stories. Yes.
Yeah, it's important, Trevor, because we don't know what we don't know.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, that history won't be around forever. So whether it's your grandparents' story or your parents' story or your own story or someone in your families that you want to share, we, as Wanda said, we completely understand that this can be really difficult and quite traumatic for people. So we're putting in processes to ensure that we do have, it is a safe place. And we are supporting people on their journey.
Yes. Now, we talk about the three phases. Can you enlighten us, please, about the three phases while you're driving this vehicle forward?
Yeah, we've been working on our plan since we were established in 1 July, and we see the work coming in three phases. The at least the next 12 months focused on capturing that evidence of that lived experience of people. So obviously there is a strong focus on our elders. We know how important it is to speak with them. We're losing really important elders every day. But we also need to understand the current issues as well. So there'll be different organisations and people who want to speak to those issues.
Yep.
Our second phase then will look at the role of government and other organisations, including churches.
Yep.
And I'll look at things historically, so issues around missions, around control of wages, dispossession of land.
Mm-hmm.
But we also look at the current issues, so policing, health, education, and how we're tracking, you know, are we succeeding in close the gap? Can we improve? So that's our second phase of work. And then the third phase is really compiling all that material and then making really, really critical recommendations to both in history and current issues.
Look, fantastic. And so there's the evidence, as so to speak. So if we look at it now, the government doesn't have any evidence or don't have nothing in their so-called portfolio for truth-telling, do they? They've got nothing there. That's what this is all about, is it not?
Yeah, look, what has surprised me about working, I worked in Queensland Territory in WA, Queensland, and we know already the State Archives here has over 200,000 items, so documents and things, 4,000 artefacts. So, look, there's a lot of, firstly, going to people and hearing their evidence is critical, but the government actually have a lot of records going back, right back historically. We've already done some work, so earlier in August we asked different government departments to provide some evidence to us, some submissions. They've already responded with those, and we are going to have a government truth-telling session next week. So there is, I was really surprised taking on this role how much work government have done preparing, but actually how many records are out there as well that can assist the inquiry.
And the work that they have done, good or not so good?
Look, I think they've been productive is what I could say. Now, we've got back with those submissions, we got over 1,300 pages all up speaking to current issues. So what are the challenges today in different departments in terms of, you know, providing services? Because our work is to look at the improvement of service delivery. So, look, they have been productive, like I say, and then we'll have a number of Director Generals coming in to our truth-telling session next week.
Fantastic. And in regards to going forward, what are we looking for, like an outcome? Are we looking at policies to be in place? Are we looking at contribution back to the families, if not in a financial sense, in a nice foundation for them to build their future upon? What are we looking at here, Josh?
Look, we could probably both answer that. I'll answer the first part and say that we don't have the power to order compensation or reparations. That's for a church. That's for the government or the court to do.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other things that we're looking at, and Vonda will speak to those.
Yes.
Yeah. So obviously our requirements under the terms of reference is to produce a report and recommendations to the minister.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, you know, we had discussions on ensuring that, you know, in our initial engagements as well, that it is some real kind of outcomes.
Yes.
So we're mindful of that because of history, raise expectations. So how do we, in our recommendations, to obviously reframe or to set new policy agendas for our mob, do that is very much, we're very, very conscious about that.
Yes.
As we, as Joshua said, we're also wanting to ensure that as we go along, obviously it's a three-year term, as we go along this process, that we also provide other opportunities for learnings and understanding, so making that visible, having more awareness about the work that we uncover, so that it's not just left for the three-year,
yes,
obviously, report at the end of it. So we are required to produce a report. There will be recommendations, and they will hopefully influence future policy settings for our First Nations people in Queensland.
Yep. To our Deli listeners just tuned in, 20 Trev here, Murray from the Curry with National Talk Black, having a Deli yarn with Joshua Creamer as well as Vonda Malone. We're talking the Truth Telling and Healing Inquiry in Queensland. Going back to the public hearing happening from the 18th to 20th September, that's open to the public, of course. Does it continue on? Can people come to the table, whether it be electronically or what have you, to give their story? How long does this run for?
That's right. So I encourage everybody to jump on our website. It's truth-telling-qld.com.au. So jump on that website, and we'll always have information about there. And, in fact, there's a video of our ceremonial hearing online that people can watch already.
Yes.
Now, some hearings and sessions are open to the public.
Okay.
We won't be live streaming this first one, but we will be putting up video afterwards of the truth telling hearing. So, yes, certainly open to the public, and encourage everybody to jump on our website, as I say, truth-telling-qld.com.au.
Is there a deadline and, there, Josh?
No. Look, it's all, our site's always up.
Good.
You'll understand what's going on and what are the things, you know, what are the next things. And later in the year, we'll open up the website for submissions. So it's a call for submissions. People will then be able to get in contact, and they'll be able to provide documents or photographs or arts or a whole range of things they want the inquiry to consider.
Yep.
That process will be a long process, Trevor. So that'll be open for a long period of time.
Yep.
But during that process of people getting in touch with the inquiry, we'll then work out are some people ready to come along to a truth-telling session or truth-telling hearing or interested in that. And so our teams will then work to identify people who can come along and give evidence. But everybody who wants an opportunity, whether you're black or white, whether you're in Mount Isa or whether you're in Rockhampton or you're down here in Brisbane, you'll get an opportunity to put information and evidence before the inquiry, whether that's in a submission, a session or a hearing.
And we're talking about the five members of the Truth Telling and Healing Inquiry. When did it establish, and how long are you running for in regard to get the information out to the government?
Yeah, so obviously our appointment, the five members, was from 1st of July.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a three-year appointment under the Treaty Act.
Yep.
2023. Each one of us come with different expertise, and obviously we have the majority being Indigenous, four Indigenous and one non-Indigenous. But certainly we've come to, you know, ensure that we can you know, provide our expertise and support the process. But most importantly, we have got a very steep turnaround that we had to get the first hearing happening here in Brisbane, and that's huge, and I commend the team for doing that, and our chair for pulling that together so that we can at least start the process. And we had a huge response from the community.
Good.
We were packed house yesterday. I think it was up to 1,500, and then we had about 1,000 people online as well, live streaming in. So we certainly were overwhelmed with that support and response. And in observation, just looking around the crowd, and you had elders there, a lot of elders, you know, coming with their wheelchairs and their, you know.
And you can see visually, virtually, you can virtually see the weight that they're carrying, whether in a wheelchair or walking upright. We're talking about emotional scars, you know, spiritual luggage that they're carrying as well, you know. And so so very important. And look, beginning's half done. Here we are. We've got the vehicle now driving forward as of 1st July, as you mentioned, 24, here for 3 years. So we need to be really proactive in this space. And, yeah, oil always rises to the top. We need to bring the truth out, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, thank you very much, both.
We've started, and we just want, you know, those that feel comfortable to come forward so that we can support them in the process.
Exactly. Well, thank you both for coming to the program, and look, all the best. And as we say, fight the good fight. And like I said, it is so very important that we've got this vehicle and driving forward. The truth should be told, and I always say that Australia's got a history, whether it be black or white, good or bad, but the history is history, and history needs to be told, and we need to own it and drive forward and get it together, I always say. But thank you for the yarn, my sister and brother Josh.
Yeah, just asking all listeners out there, like if you want to know more about, please jump on our website. We've got an active, also very active social media platform with LinkedIn and as well as Facebook. So it's all about informing you. And like what the chair said, if you're curious, please learn. And
And you mentioned safe space as well, which is a very important, you know, Vonda. Very important, the safe space. So when they're reaching out, they've got, well, First Nation people, especially on the other end, can't be black on black. And there's strong feelings and empathy and with the information being received,
And we've got healing and wellbeing officers within our team too, Trevor. So
good.
And they're at every event. They're out working with people who are giving evidence. So that's a core part of what we're doing.
Yes. Well, thank you very much for hearing you, Bob. For Queenslanders, yes, thank you. Just got a quick question: is this happening around other states and territories? Do you know?
Yeah, look, Victoria's coming to the end of their Europe Commission.
Okay.
And the territories looked at treaty. New South Wales is taking some steps now. They're looking for different roles. So Queensland's probably second in line if you think of Victoria first.
Okay.
And we've already started and other states looking at it.
Good, 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 good. Should be across the country, the big island. Thank you very much, Josh, my brother. Vonda, sis, keep smiling. Stay strong, your mob. Big shout out to the other members. And look, love the work you're doing. Please do keep in touch, eh?
Thanks, Councillor.
Shut up. You kiss my and you mob too, Deadly. Represent. One love.
Yowel.
Oh, yowel. Deadly yarn there. Beautiful yarn there with the members of the Queensland Truth Telling and the Truth Telling Healing Inquiry. And that's happening now, next 3 days, public hearing, 18th to 20th September, after having the opening there on Monday the 16th. And you can go to their webpage, all the W's, truth-telling-qld.com.au, and to tell your story or inquire. And we're bringing the truth to the table. That's what it's all about. And now we've got a vehicle to do that. When you look at the likes of Joshua Creamer, Vonda Malone, and you also got Cheryl Buchanan, Honourable Rosalind Atkinson, and also Ivan Ingram. So they're the five members who are steering this ship forward, and that's what it's all about, communication. So step forth, you mob, have your say and have your yarn, very important yarn, and let's get to the bottom of it all. It's healing as well, but also working towards the future. We as Australia, yep, here we are. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say and yarn up strong. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yeah, yarn with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Too deadly.
There's nothing I would rather be than to be an Aboriginal. just what heaven must be like. Where moth and rust do not corrupt, when I die I'll know be going up, cause you know that I had my hell on earth.
God gave us ten commandments, we know we are reborn.
Judgment Day is coming, you're always being warned.
There's nothing I would rather be than to be an aborigine. They'll want to take my precious land away. Oh, no, no, no. They'll want to take my precious land away.
Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM, Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service. You can have your saber calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, CDU, that's Charles Darwin University, opens a permanent campus to deliver tertiary education in East Arnhem Region. Fantastic. Great news. We're going to catch up a yarn with Alice Doyle, CDU's Associate Vice Chancellor, East Arnhem Region. And we have Alice on the line. Alice, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Good morning, Trevor. Very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. So talk about taking the mountain to the people. We are opening up the permanent campus to deliver tertiary education in East Arnhem region. This is exciting.
It is, Trevor. It's been a while coming, this building and facility for the region, and very excited that we've now got a place to call home in East Arnhem Land.
All right, fantastic. And so when we talk about a bullion taking tertiary education, what fields, what industries, what studies we're talking here?
Pretty much, Trevor, you name it, we can do it.
Good.
So we kicked off actually today with our first class in our facility.
Good.
A short course, which was forklift training for local community moms.
Yeah, fantastic. And so the opportunity is there before the people. And look, go a mile, see a mile, they can look up and have a vision for their future and work in own country.
Absolutely. And look, we're still happy to travel to, you know, on country to do training as and when needed. It just means, you know, this has got a bit of the state-of-the-art stuff with all the electrotech that we need to do some of our online courses, some of our cybersecurity courses and things like that students might need. So we're set up for, I guess, town training, but still able to do the on-country stuff as needed.
Fantastic. And we were talking about educators and staff with Charles Darwin University. Are we talking First Nation team?
Oh, absolutely. So we've got a bit of a mix. A lot of our trainers travel from across the territory to come and deliver, especially when it's specialised training. So we get higher ed trainers coming in, and we also get the vocational education trainers coming in, and all here to obviously upskill anyone in the region to be able to, you know, improve employability skills.
Fantastic. Now, when we're talking about East Arnhem region, are we talking conversing and communication at the table? Are we talking mayors and councillors? Are we talking who's at the other end in regards to on country?
Well, look, it really could be our what we would call, I guess, CEOs of any organisation.
Yes.
So you know, they might be doing an MBA kind of course, but it also could be our local Yule Mob who might be needing some skills to upgrade from, you know, one level to another as rangers, you know, doing their own work on country. So because we're a dual sector institute, so we offer TAFE as well as higher education, it can be anything in that realm of what the students need and what the region needs to develop their people.
Oh, fantastic. And then we're talking about is an opportunity for, if not employment, but procurement, supporting First Nation businesses on country in regard to this campus.
Yeah, and look, we have been able to do that as part of the facility, you know, fit out that we've had happen.
Yes.
But look, growth is our plan. We're limited here with housing. That's one of our biggest barriers to growth, and that's everyone's barriers to growth, just with the region that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can get housing, we can grow business, and that's our plan. So we're working with, you know, the local housing entities to be able to grow what we can deliver,
sure,
and our permanent presence to be able to do it ongoing in the region.
All right, fantastic. And we're talking education, tertiary education. So are we talking like 2, 3, 4 year courses as such, and getting their certificates?
Absolutely, and every part of before that too. So it might be somebody wanting to learn how to succeed at university, so they end up doing an enabling program to then enter a course at university. It might be that they need a certificate too in business skills to be able to get a job, so it could actually be, you know, a 3 or 4 week intensive training program to learn skills to actually then be employable. So every part of, you know, like I say, doing an MBA or something like that for CEOs, you know, executives that work for some of our Aboriginal organisations.
Yes.
Or it could be, you know, the other end of, you know, someone leaving school and wanting to get that foot in the door and needing a ticket or a licence or a certificate to be able to do it. So we're pretty versatile with what we deliver because of that dual sector fact that we can deliver certificate ones in TAFE all the way through to, you know, your masters and PhD students that we've got here. And trying to have a facility that suits the needs of every part of that you know, I guess, learning journey.
Sure. And when we talk about our mob and talking about inclusion for closing the gap, health would be up there as well, wouldn't it?
Health and education,
yes.
Definitely two of the programs that we focus on in this region. And obviously that's where the employability is as well. You know, we're going through a transition in this region over the next few years as mining sort of closes down and what will be with industry. We know that there's two industries that will not leave the region. We always need health and we always need education. So absolutely supporting those people on those learning journeys. And again, every part of that, you know, we've got Certificate 3 students, Certificate 4 students, and also higher end PhD students.
Thank you, Alice. Fantastic. And how long have you been Associate Vice Chancellor, East Arnhem Region?
Oh, I think, Trevor, I've just ticked over 2.5 years.
Okay.
I think getting literally my feet under a desk with this facility, so no longer working from home. And absolutely, you know, part of having a home and a place that feels comfortable for people to come to and you know is their education institute for the region.
No, fantastic. Enjoying that journey there, Alice?
I've loved every part of it. I can tell you it hasn't always been easy, but look, I think I'm probably really blessed, Trevor, to be honest. The region are really supportive of what we're doing, which makes my job very easy and it makes the fight a lot easier to do.
Yeah, no, fantastic. And as I said, taking the mountain to the people, this is great for our mob to go further with their education. And like I said, we need more black successes in this country, not only on the football field, I always say, Alice.
Oh, look, ain't that true, hey? Look, look, we've got, you know, local mob in this region are absolutely desperate for these opportunities, and that's what we're trying to do. We're absolutely trying to do that, is bring what they need and what they want to them rather than the travel factor having to be a barrier.
Exactly. And then the young people who are witnessing this, you can't be what you can't see. And there it is before them, you know. So it just opens up doors and lifts the communities in more ways than one.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we want this to be, you know, their home. Like, it's not, you know, the reality is this is not a CDU institute. This is an educational institute for local people.
Yep, beautiful. Love it. Alice, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your team, and all the best to the mob up there, East Arnhem region, and keep doing what you're doing, my sister.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Appreciate having me.
All the best to you. Take care.
Cheers, mate.
Bye-bye. Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. That's Alice Doyle, her name is. That's Charles Darwin University's Associate Vice Chancellor, East Arnhem Region. And the exciting thing about the opening of a permanent campus to deliver tertiary education in East Arnhem Region. And as I said, talking about taking the mountain to the people. Fantastic. We need more black successes. And education is key, but having feet in both camp, keeping our culture strong as well. So too deadly. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country as BBM, Bumba Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Too deadly, National Talk Black.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wootshopperin's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wootshopperin on 40801080 to learn more.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.
Neglected, unprotected, fracking oils and spills. My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumper Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, New Mob. Now, cost of living burden eased for regional pet owners as they look for new ways to cover vet costs. Traditional insurance options are failing pet owners in regional areas where economic opportunities and vet clinics are more limited. So over half, 68% of pet owners admitted to not taking their pet to the vet when they needed to. And in light of this, veterinary surgeons at Green Cross Vets are urging pet owners to prioritise preventative care and avoid worse problems down the line. Look, we're down in Catch of a Yard with Dr. Michael Yazbek, veterinarian at Green Cross Vets. On the line, Dr. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, we're talking about our fur babies and loving and looking after them. But costs can deter this. There is problems in the financial side of things to loving our pets and looking after them. What is the answer to it?
Yeah, and as you say, it's quite a scary statistic hearing how many pet owners don't bring their pets to the vet or can't because of financial reasons. Mm. Because, you know, ultimately they're part of the family. We want to love them and take care of them. And when cost gets in the way because of the current economic climate, it is really heartbreaking. So, as you say, you know, traditionally pet insurance was a really good way to come up with funds for unexpected emergencies or illnesses. And I am a firm believer in it still, but we do have a unique kind of opportunity now in the space of preventative healthcare to be proactive. And as you said, catching diseases early is always better. Prevention is better than cure. It's better for the pet, and ultimately it is cheaper in the long run before a disease really sets in.
Yes.
So basically what we have now is a membership program tailored to the life stage of your puppy or kitten or adult or old pet, where basically all the things that we need to be doing from a preventative care perspective are made a bit more affordable, and hopefully that will help.
Well, of course, when we're talking regional areas, are the prices more higher compared to metro areas?
It does vary a little bit. And even, you know, I don't know exactly kind of where our listeners are from and what their experiences are, but certainly sometimes in different suburb or regions, things can be more expensive. And that may not be due to just the location, but it might be around things like accessibility to a referral practice. They might not be close by, so you might have to take them elsewhere, essentially. But essentially anything that can help really is important.
Do we have, like, if a person was to take their loving fur baby to the vet and then the cost came out thereafter and it was like a sort of emergency, is there a payment plan, or is there, what discussions are happening at the table to prevent worse injuries as such?
Yeah, that's a good question. There are a lot of different things out there, and some of them are kind of in the payment plan space where, you know, you get the bill and there are ways that you can pay them off slowly. Then you've got the insurance, which, you know, you put a claim through. I guess what we're talking about today is how can we kind of take a step back and put us in the best position before we even get those unexpected bills. So things like the care plans or the life stage memberships, basically you pay kind of a monthly or a fortnightly fee. So it's not hitting you all at once, but that opens you up to free unlimited consultations, 24-hour contact with a vet, whether it be a web-based service if you're not close to a vet clinic or a physical consultation, routine tests, dentistry, and ultimately a discount across the board for all different services. So it kind of fits in that place that we don't really have anything else there at the moment.
Okay. And our pet owners, can they Google different insurance companies that can help or get costings from?
Yeah, absolutely. If a pet owner's after insurance, there's heaps out there. And, you know, we have different insurances for the car and for the health and everything. So you need just as much research to kind of find the policy that's right for you.
Sure.
But certainly if our listeners are interested in the Healthy Pets Plus membership, then they can go to Green Cross Vets website, which is greencrossvets.com.au, and it actually explains all the different plans and the costings available, just to see whether that's beneficial. But ultimately, if you're doing all those things anyway, like getting the vaccinations and the health checks and all that, you do end up saving quite a bit of money, and that almost pays off the plan itself.
So when they're paying their installments as insurance, when it comes to a situation where the lovely fur baby has to be operated on as such, does the insurance cover the lot, do they, or does it pay a small fee?
I guess if we're talking about traditional pet insurance, which is separate to the Healthy Pets Plus care plan, then usually it's a proportion of the fee. So, for example, if the policy says that they'll cover 80%, and they're just left with that gap. For things like the Healthy Pets Plus membership, it's usually a blanket discount across the board. So, for example, a de-sexing might be 20% off, or another service might be 10% off, just depending on the plan that's chosen.
Sure. So it's about getting information from the different insurance companies and find out what suits you as a pet owner.
Absolutely. There's so much information out there, but definitely if you do need more advice or information, head to the website first, because there's lots of info there. But if you do want to talk to someone, just pick up the phone and have a chat with our friendly staff at Green Cross Vets.
Mm-hmm. So as we talk about humans, I mean, once a year we do a medical checkup. As we get older, maybe twice or three times. What would it be for animals as such, Dr. Michael?
It's quite the same. I recommend generally every 6 to 12 months. And depending on how old the pet is, if they've got any chronic conditions, often we recommend a little bit more frequently.
Sure.
For example, if they have a heart condition or a kidney issue or diabetes, we may need to see them a bit more, whereas a younger or fit animal might be every 6 to 12 months.
Now, picking up two fur babies at home, one had a cough sort of thing, and now it's contagious. The other beautiful animal, pet, has got the cough. Is this normal?
I guess,
like
as you say, if one got a cough and the other one did, then certainly a contagious disease is quite high on the list.
Yes.
Are they dogs?
Yeah, they are, yes.
Yeah, so it could be something like canine cough, which is quite similar to a cold that people can get. But that's a great example, because that's a disease that we vaccinate for in a routine kind of C5 vaccination, and it can actually reduce how contagious it is. So it's one of the things that, you know, if we can get on top of, just to try and make it a little bit less of a problem.
There you go. Beautiful information. Dr. Michael, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you. Stay warm. It was getting in the summer down that way in Sydney. And look, we'll talk soon, Dr. Michael. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Dr. Michael Yazbek, his name is, veterinarian at Green Cross Vets. And we're talking about the cost of living burden eased for regional pet owners as they look for new ways to cover vet costs. So do Google, do your information in regarding searching for a healthy organization for pets in regarding insurance, and look at their costings in regarding installments. But it's not an expensive investment, and looking after our beautiful fur babies. That's what it's all about, isn't it? All right, have your say. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. And we're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bumblebrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob. National Talk Black. Too deadly.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernigan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Hot in the north, and we know about a hot stepper. Down bad to the top, fella. Instagram's from the man, cause my verse better. one trying to get close, step straight to the back. I tell them no way. Trying to get through these walls, they built reinforced. I tell them go away. Bear with the cause, and I've been here before. When I said that I still want more. So anyone trying to get close, one word to your wall, but like that's go. Got the mic now, get strength from the bully beef, just to bully the beat. This is my playground, gubba gubba for the fake clowns. This the hammer time with the runaway, one that island life, I'm a castaway. Need a vacate to the ZK, time to hustle hard for the payday. This a conquest, on my way to the TOP. I got no time for the enemies, these possum tongues say frenemy. But the strong heart of a R.E.B. got a snake, baller acting finicky. So I kill him quick with a free flow, I break necks and kill egos. Keep them coming back like good puss on a free coat. I'm about to make change like a Mino. Two puffs of the weed smoke. Sick of my broke friends with no pay. Always come around and freeload to the bad vibes. Tell them c'est la vie. It's R.E.B. to the cemetery. Give a fuck what you telling me. Live life like I'm 24 with that black mamba mentality. Truth never miss. Shoot from the hip. Never a bitch. I ain't like grip when I'm flipping the switch. Digging your ditch. Dead or alive. Top five. Red eye bullets. We